Let's pray before we begin. Father, we thank you for this wonderful word. Lord, I pray that I would speak only what you would have me to. Let me, Lord, have ears to hear your voice tonight. I pray that we all, Lord, would receive what you have for us tonight and come away from this place in love with you and in love with your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my title is Falling in Love with the Word. You know, tonight as we look into our Bibles, my goal and my hope is that you will begin to fall more in love with the Word of God. You know, have you ever read a book that you just couldn't hardly put down? Have you ever been that way with the Bible? Well, most of us have multiple copies of the Bible in our home. In fact, I took an inventory today and I counted, just in our home, I counted 21 Bibles. And that's just in our home. I know that Mark has a whole bunch more in his office. But, you know, among all those Bibles, there's some that are really special to me. And so I brought some of my special Bibles to share with you. I have with me my very first Bible. When I was in elementary school, I remember Dad gave me and Carla one just alike, of course, and these little white Bibles, and it's my very first grown-up Bible, and I really was excited. And I carried this Bible for many, many years. It's not as white as when my dad first gave that to me. And then after I had been married, my dad gave me another Bible. This one, you can tell it's a little messed up. It's an NIV, and I have read this and read it. And one thing that is really special about this Bible, there was a period of time, when it was a transition that Mark and I were in. We had a lot of moves we made one time. I think we moved four times one time in 2 years, and that's a lot of moving. But during that time, I believe God put it into my heart that in the evenings, I read the Bible out loud to my kids before they went to bed. And so we began in Genesis, and it took us 2 years, but we got all the way through Revelation. And I read, and you know, not just reading it, not explaining, just reading it. And so this is really special to me. And then I have this other Bible. This is the very first Bible that my wonderful husband gave to me. And I look at the beginning, and it says, presented to Carmen Nichols from Mark Hill. So it's really special. I remember when he gave it to me, I thought, wow, he gave me a Bible. We hadn't been dating very long. But then on October the 31st, 1982, the day we got married, that night he gave me this Bible. And I got to write in it, presented to Carmen Hill from Mark Hill. So I got to write the word, my first time to write Hill after my name. So this is a very special Bible to me. I'm getting to the end here. Here is another, this is the most recent Bible added to our home. This is my dad's Bible. And if you could see it on the front here, written in the marks lot, it says Nichols right across the front. And if you know my dad, that is just like him. Because this was his Bible he kept here, right in one of those seats back there. This was his Bible because it was hard for him to carry it back and forth. So he kept it here. So I got to have this, and it sits out at home. And it's very, very special to me. And then last, my last one is my current Bible that I read. You know, I read the NIV for a long time, and now I'm on to the King James Version, and I absolutely love it. But, you know, all our Bibles are special to us. Why? Because it is the Word of God. It's His very Word. It tells us who He is and what He is like, and it's how we fall in love with Him is as we read this precious Word of God. You know, we have so many copies. We also have lots and lots of different translations. Don't we? I have an iPad that I can put a scripture on, and just with a click, I can go to the next translation, click another one. I can just as fast as you can go. It's really, really neat. I have a Bible program on my computer and all kinds of things. And some of you, I don't have this, but some of you have the Bible program on your phone. So you have everywhere you go, you've got the Word of God with you. And I notice also on the outside of so many Bibles, you'll have the word Holy Bible. Why does it say holy? Because it's set apart from all other books in this world. There's nothing else that comes close to it. And nothing will ever, ever come close. It is holy. It is separate. It is set apart from all others. I remember as a teenager and growing up, anytime I would get out a book to read, I thought, I shouldn't read this. I need to be reading my Bible, the important book. I just couldn't hardly make myself read anything but my Bible because I thought, you know, this pales in comparison to the Word of God. Because the Bible, it's our solid foundation that we build our lives upon. And as we read it, we learn about God. But not only do we learn about Him, we experience Him in our lives personally. That Bible, now God speaks to us in lots of different ways, but reading your Bible is the primary way that God will speak to you individually. But have you ever thought, I wish God would speak to me? Have you ever thought, God never speaks to me? Here's one I've thought, I just can't even tell. I don't know if it's me or if it's God. I think we've all been there. Is it me? Am I coming up with this all by myself, or is it the Lord? But I'm telling you that as you read it, you will learn to tell the difference between your voice and between God's voice. It's the more that you read it, the more you will learn it. You know, as you open up your in the Old Testament, say you're reading a story just by yourself, you can be reading it, and then all of a sudden, it just something comes alive in that story that speaks to the situation and the problem that you're encountering and gives you the answer what to do. You know what that was? That was the Holy Spirit. That was God speaking to your heart. And if you have never experienced it, you are truly missing out. You are truly missing out. In fact, this morning, I had the most wonderful time with the Lord. I was opened up my Bible because at the beginning of the year, I try to start reading in Genesis and read through the Bible for the year. And so I was in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and it's the story of David and Goliath. Now, I've heard the story of David and Goliath for as long as I can remember. I don't remember not knowing the story of David and Goliath. But you know, this is how the Word of God is. You can read it again and it comes alive in your heart. In fact, as I was so excited reading it. In fact, because the Lord, I had been allowing the devil to kind of beat me down about some things. But then as I was reading, I thought, that's just like the Goliath. And so all day long when these negative thoughts would come to me, I would think, I will smite thee and take thine head from thee. You know? I knew what it meant in my spirit, but it would come up. I will smite thee and take thine hand from me, not allowing the devil to run roughshod over me today. In fact, I was so glad that I spent my time reading about David and Goliath. It gave me such strength all day today. See what the Word of God can do? By yourself, just reading it, God will speak to you. He will speak to you. As you read it, you find the wisdom instruction you need for your day. You'll find peace and joy. It will build your faith. It will bring happiness into your life. You know, I think it's the Bill of Rights that says we have the right to the pursuit of happiness. I tell you, the greatest way to pursue happiness is studying the Word of God. Because as you read it, you'll get to know God for yourself, and He'll lead you down the right path. You know, it's one thing for somebody to tell you about someone. It's an entirely different thing to get to know someone yourself. It takes time to get to know someone. I know my husband very well. Some of you have heard him preach for 7 years in this building. You've heard lots and lots of messages, but you don't know him like I know him. If you want your relationship with him to rise to another level, you have to spend some time personally. If the only time you ever spend with him is when he's standing in the pulpit, that's one level. But if you spent time personally, you're rising to a new level. See, some of you tonight need to rise to a new level in your relationship with the Lord. All you know of him and all you hear of him is what somebody else feeds you. You need to get alone by yourself with the Lord, not just when you're always with somebody else. Get alone by yourself and you will rise to a new level in your relationship with the Lord. You know, maybe you were close with the Lord at one time or another. It might be somebody or several somebodies in here that you can think of a time when you were closer to the Lord, where your relationship with him was more vibrant and more real and more alive to you. I remember I had a friend back when we lived in Whitesboro, Texas. I had a best friend. Her name was Patsy. And for 6 years, we worked together. We ate lunch almost every day together, had a lot of really good and fun times. But, you know, I have not seen her in about 7 years. And so our relationship is not as close as it used to be because of the distance and the time. We don't ever get to spend time with each other anymore. But I know if we ever moved close to one another again, it wouldn't take long for us. Our relationship could just start right back up and we could be close pretty quickly again. It's the same with you and the Lord. If you've been kind of pushed away from the Lord and haven't been given him the time that he deserves, if you just turn right back around and start spending time with him, before you know it, you're going to be right back where you were before. Amen. Was there a time in the past when you spent reading your Bible every day, but you just kind of let it slip, not doing that anymore? Do you plan on reading your Bible, but you never get around to it? I tell you what, I don't want to stand before the Lord one day and say, you know, Lord, I meant to read my Bible, but, you know, I was just so busy. What are you going to say? What if someone said that to you? You know, I want to spend time with you, but, you know, but I'm sorry, I just don't ever have time. Well, you know, not very close to that person, are you? How do you think the Lord feels when he's done so much for you? So much, but we don't have time for him. You know, we've been talking on Sunday mornings about rewiring your thinking, about learning to think differently. How are you wired to think about God's word? Do you think about it as not? Now, I can come up with all these examples because I've been there myself, okay? So I'm not pointing fingers. Are you wired to think, well, it's just something else I have to do or something I have to add to my busy schedule? Have you thought about the word like, well, you know, I just don't like to read? I've heard that one lots of times. Or I just can't understand it. Or I read it, it's just so boring. You know, that's all wrong thinking about God's word. That's the wrong way to think. And it comes from the devil. You need to realize where those types of thoughts come from. That didn't come from the Lord. That came from the devil. And here's one that's a real deception, that I don't have time to read my Bible every day. I just can't do it every day. I do it some. Well, let me ask you this. How does it make you feel if you just decide one day, I'm not going to eat or drink anything today? Or maybe do that for 2 or 3 days. I'm not going to eat any food, drink any water, nothing. I just don't have time for that. What's that going to do? Your physical body is going to get so weak. You're going to hardly be able to work. You're not even be able to enjoy doing fun things. Because your body is weak, you got to feed it. It has to be fed daily. It says in Luke 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Some people are just absolutely starving their spirits to death, have such a weak little bitty spirit. So when temptation comes, you don't have anything to fight with. We have to feed our spirits. It says in Psalm 119:165, great peace have they who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. It says in the King James, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. You see, if you love the word of God, you read it every day. And I'm not talking about where you read it really fast to say that you did it. I've got 10 minutes or 5 minutes, so okay, I'm going to read my chapter. And you're done. It has done nothing. It just right over your head. I'm talking about where you get alone with the Lord and you spend time where you read it, you think about it, you meditate on it, let it become a part of you. As you do that, then you build up your spirit and you can be strong when that temptation comes. If you find yourself easily offended all the time, it's things that just irritate you just easily, I have a cure for that. Spend more time in the Word of God. Do you get angry at the drop of a hat? I have a cure. Spend more time with the Word of God. Whatever fault you find in your life that you're dealing with and you're having trouble with, I have a cure. Get in the Word of God. Because you see, God knows what your faults are. He knows what you need. And he'll speak to you through his word, whatever it is. Because you see, whatever your fault is, whatever you are dealing with, there's not just one scripture in here. There are hundreds of scripture that God can use to speak to whatever fault that you have. God is a big God. And wherever you are reading in your word, if you do it every day, I'm telling you, you'll be strong and you'll be able to stand against the temptations that come into your life. Just as you must daily take care of your physical body, you have to daily take care of your spirit. You must feed your spirit the Word of God. So why do I love the Word of God? Why do I love it? I love it because the Word of God is where my life is. It is a sure thing. I count on it 100% of the time. The Word of God is always right. It never leads me down the wrong path. It is my guide for life. Why do I love the Word of God? Because there is great power in the Word of God. It tells us in 1 Peter 1:23, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. You see, the Word of God is an incorruptible seed that has great power in it. It's like every promise in there is like a little seed. And if when you read that promise, you put it down in your heart, you put it down in your heart by thinking on it, meditating on it, praying over it. It comes down in your heart. And as you keep it in there through prayer and meditation and confessing it and believing it, there is great power that is going to come out of your life from that promise. There is more power in the Word of God than you can possibly imagine that will bring about the things that you desire in this life. I want the power of the Word of God on the inside of me. So every time I read it, I want to meditate and think upon it so that I'm planting that seed deep within my heart. It says in Mark chapter 4, verse 26, and Bob referred to this in the offering. He said, and when he, Jesus, said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seed on the ground. Now remember, what is the seed? The seed is the Word of God. Scattering it upon us. It's like when you read the Bible, you're scattering that seed in your heart. Okay? Verse 27, and should sleep by night and rise by day, and the seed should sprout and grow. See, as you read it day after day after day, it begins to sprout and grow in your heart. He himself does not know how. We don't know how it works, but it just does, because we're doing it day by day, by day, by day. Verse 28, for the earth yields crops by itself, first the blade, then the head, after that the full grain in the head. But when the grain ripens, immediately he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. See, there's a process here. As you daily put that word in there and put that word in, over time it grows, it grows, and grows. And it finally comes to the part where your harvest is in. See, I think what a lot of people do, they say, okay, I'm going to read my Bible. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm going to do that. And so maybe for 2 or 3 days, oh, yes, I've done that. Well, it didn't do anything. Nothing changed. Well, it doesn't work that way. It's a daily, daily, day in, day out, putting the word in, putting the word in, putting the word in. And when you need it, it will be there and come out. The Word of God is spiritual seed that has power within it to produce a great harvest in your life. So what do you do when temptation comes your way? To sin, to do wrong, when you're tempted to go back on a commitment? What do you do when you're tempted to give up on something you've made a commitment to? What do you do when you want to be lazy and not do what you know you're supposed to? What do you do when the temptation to gripe and complain is oh so there? Rightfully so. Do you try to just use your willpower to grit your teeth and not say anything? Or just try to avoid the conflict altogether? I tell you, we need to do what Jesus did. What did he do? He said, when the devil tempted him, what did he say? He said, it is written. Every time he said, it is written. Because that's where our power lies. It has to be in the Word of God. Jesus didn't say to the devil, hey, I'm God's son, leave me alone. Didn't say that, did he? Do you know who I am? You can't say that. You say, it is written, and the devil has to flee. Why? Because the Word of God is powerful. When those words are spoken in faith, when you're saying something that you truly believe down in your heart, it will work. Power will come out. The problem is, I see, though, is when the temptation comes, you're tempted to gripe and complain, but no scripture comes to your mind. You're totally blank. You're unprepared. Or maybe a scripture does come to mind, and you feebly kind of remember, sort of, you heard it one time, and it says this. It still doesn't work because it's not a part of you, and you're not saying it in faith. How can the Word of God have life-changing power in your life? It's when, I'm going to say it again, you put it down in your heart. You meditate upon it. Till it becomes a part of you. That's how you actually think. You don't have to wonder, what does it say? You know what it says. You spent time praying in tongues over it. And then you know what you're supposed to do. And you can obey. When the Father speaks to you, you have the power to obey and do what he says to do. Why should you love the Word of God? Because when the temptation to say, I can't, comes, if you've been loving the Word of God, the Holy Spirit will come to you and he'll remind you, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, everybody knows that verse. Well, if that's your attitude, I'm sorry. It's not going to work. You can't just flippantly say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No, you can say that if you've planted it in your heart and the Holy Spirit has impressed that upon you on the inside and you know that. You can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You say it in faith. That's the difference. Why should you love the Word of God? Because when a life-threatening disease comes your way and you're tempted to say, I'm going to die, the Holy Spirit will remind you, I will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. I remember, my friend Carol, I remember that Sunday when she came into the church office and said, Carmen, I got to talk to you. We were alone. She talked to me. She told me that she had been diagnosed with cancer. And she was giving me some details or whatever. But I remember what rose up in my spirit. You will live and not die and declare the works of the Lord. That scripture just came up within me. At that point in time, I had no idea where that scripture was in the Bible. No idea. But I had heard it and believed it. I believed that truth. And when she told me that rose up within me. And of course, here she is. She's lived and not died. And she's declaring the works of the Lord. See, when you come against something that's life-threatening, you need to be prepared. That's how daily, day after day, I'm taking my time in the Word so that you're ready. Why should you love the Word of God? Because when financial problems come your way and you're tempted to say, oh, I just can't give my tithe this month, the Holy Spirit will remind you. Malachi 3:10 and 11, bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Not part of it, all. All. Okay, point taken. That there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there might not be room enough to contain it. Isn't that just such a fantastic promise? And what else does he say? And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit in your field, says the Lord of hosts. Now that will work for you if you believe it. You see, just like health problems come to us all, and the Word of God says, by his stripes I am healed. You're going to have to stand in faith for your healing. Financial problems come to us all. There will be times that's going to be tempted to say, no, I can't give this month. But see, if you truly believe this promise, the Holy Spirit will remind you, you know, if you'll go ahead and give in faith. Now, you don't do it if you're just hoping that it might maybe work. But if you read it, say, oh, yes, Holy Spirit, that's right. I've read that truth before, and I've stood on that before. And so the Holy Spirit makes it alive on the inside of you. Hey, you need to, if you give, I'm going to take care of it. So you go ahead and you give it anyway, and miracles happen. Miracles happen. This is the Word of God directing you down the right path to victory. Why should you love the Word of God? Because when your situation, whatever you're facing, seems impossible, and you're tempted to say, my family's never going to change, my job's never going to change, the Holy Spirit will remind you in Mark 9:23, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. See what the Word can do? See why we should love it? It brings life. It brings hope. It brings power to change, power to think right, power to say the right things and speak right. It says in John 8:31, if you abide in me, Jesus said, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. See how knowing the Word, God's Word, when you're facing troubles in this life, can make you free? Having trouble believing God for something? Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing it, and hearing it, and hearing it, and hearing it again. Don't have enough faith? Well, got to do some more hearing. Hearing and hearing, that's what it says, hearing the Word of God. We want it to be something else. We want to be able to say, well, if I just go to this one service, then it'll all be poured into me, and I'm done. Have faith. Faith woman. It doesn't work that way. It comes by hearing it and hearing it and hearing it. What moves God? Faith. Faith is what moves God. Not wanting something really, really, really bad. Oh God, I really, 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 really want this. That doesn't move God. Tears and crying and crying and crying and crying and crying. That doesn't move God. Not making a deal with God. God, if you'll do this, I'll do this. God is a God of his word, and he is moved by faith. And you say, but faith is impossible. It's too hard to have faith. No, it's not. God will help you. You just have to be a vessel that's willing to give him a little time each day. He'll grow that faith inside of you. If you came here tonight and you say that you're not in love with God's word, or you know that you don't love it like you should, what are you going to do? I want to encourage you, take charge of your life. Take charge. Stop being a baby Christian whose only food comes from others. Don't be a baby that has to be spoon-fed. You need to start feeding yourself. Feed yourself, getting alone with the Lord, and he'll speak to you. So I have some things you can do that's going to help you to fall more in love with the Word of God. Wherever you are, let's rise to a new level in our love for the Word of God. Number one, ask God to help you love it. Ask him. I remember being there. I remember praying, Lord, I had all those horrible attitudes. It's boring, Lord. I don't understand it. You know, I just don't want to read. I remember saying, God, I need to love your word. Help me. Give me a love for your word. He'll do it. And then you can start confessing with your mouth. Say things like, I love the word of God. It brings life to my soul. It brings direction for my life. It never fails me. It's alive and it's powerful. I have written in the very front of this Bible, God's word is a sure thing. I can count on it 100% of the time. So watch what you're saying about it. You know, so ask God to give you a love for it. Start speaking positive things about it out of your mouth. And before you read it, pray and say, okay, now, Lord, I'm going to read today. And Father, I pray that you would cause this word to come alive into my heart. And then in faith, have a piece of paper and a pen handy and ready to write down what the Lord speaks to you. You say, oh, I can remember it. Well, yeah, maybe. But you'll be surprised by the next day. You can't remember a thing what you just, God had just spoken to you that was so really wonderful. You need to write it down. Get you a journal, write it down. Pray, read, say, Lord, help me. Read it, and then write down what you get. It's amazing. It'll come. So meditate it. If you'll begin meditating on the word and let it become a part of you, you'll fall in love with it. You know, the first time that I met Mark, I remember it very, very well. I didn't fall in love with him. We shook hands, and that was it. 3 weeks later, he called and asked me out. I had no idea what he looked like. None. I did not know. Now, I remembered that he was the youth pastor. That's all. That's it. But, you know, I said, yes, we could go out. We went out. But, you know, each time we went out, I fell more and more in love with him. But it wasn't the first time we met. I wasn't madly in love with him after our first date. I liked him pretty good after the first one. But each time I fell more and more in love with him. See, it'll be that way with the Word of God. First time you read, it may just seem flat. Maybe for a week, it may seem flat. Keep at it. Because the more that you read it, the more you'll fall in love with it. Because, see, really, falling in love with the Word is falling in love with God himself. Because this is who he is. You're falling in love with God because you learn who he is. See, I fell in love with Mark because of who he is. You'll fall in love with God because you'll know who he is as you read it for yourself and get into it. Amen. Are you ready to fall in love with the word? Amen. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this word tonight. Lord, I pray that everybody in this building tonight would fall more in love with your word. Lord, I'm asking you that for everybody here tonight, the next time they're alone with you and they open up their Bibles, Lord, I pray that it would just become alive to them like it did to me this morning. And that they would fall more in love with you. Amen.
Well, praise the Lord. That's a good word. I do want to clarify, though, I hate the way she tells that story. Didn't even remember what he looked like. Come on. Wow. That's really humbling. The truth is, she says, I knew he was the youth pastor. The only reason she knew I was the youth pastor is because I told her. I said, hi, this is Mark Hill. You remember me? She said, no. I said, the youth pastor? She said, oh, okay. Of course, I didn't know at that time that she had no idea what I looked like. But anyway, that's how that story went. But there's only one thing wrong with that message tonight, and that is that it's not microwavable Christianity. We all like that quick fix. Let's make it easy. But if you want a real relationship with the Lord, you want to walk in all God has for you, there's no quick microwavable version. That's just the truth. Now, you know, I didn't get to preach tonight, but I'm gonna add a little bit. I got a nod from her. The rest of you just have to put up with it. But I want to give you one more reason to love the Word of God. Just want to remind you of John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, I know it's not this leather and paper and ink. It's the Word itself. But the Word was with God, and the Word was God. You realize that in the New Testament, there's one passage or one verse where it talks about the Father and the Holy Spirit and the Word. I mean, the Word is Jesus. And we need to be in love with the Word of God because it's Jesus. Well, I just want to give you one more. I love this. It's in Revelations chapter 19. And it says, now I saw, this is verse 11, beginning of verse 11. He says, I saw heaven open and behold a white horse. And he who sat on him was faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Who's riding on that white horse? The Word of God. That's his name. His name is called the Word of God. People think we're crazy making such a big deal out of the Word. They'd rather have fairy tales and stories and jokes and illustrations. I'm telling you, all that's okay, but it's the Word that changes your life. It's the Word that gives you that intimacy with the Lord. As you read and study and pray over it, the Holy Spirit reveals it to you, how powerful that is. So I just challenge you and encourage you, add my little 2 cents here to Carmen's message tonight, to just make a renewed commitment to give time to the Word of God, to give its proper place in your life, to just esteem it in your life. Several times the psalmist says, it's better than silver and gold. Better than silver and gold. Better than money. Better than stuff. Give it proper place in your life. Value it above all that other stuff. Amen. You know, all this modern entertainment we have, it's not evil. But it's so sad that people let it take away from their time with God's Word. And all of that is nothing in eternity. And I think a lot of it has, you know, we think, well, but it's my way to relax and just kick back. And, you know, this ought to be our way to relax and kick back. Just great peace have they who love His law. Amen. Well, that's enough of my preaching. So why don't you stand with me, and as we close this service in prayer, I know she already prayed at the end of the message, but I'd just like for you to pray once more and just, you know, just commit yourself to that, just to say, Lord, I want that in my life. I want to pursue after your word that way. Let's pray. Father, I just pray you give us a fresh hunger. And Lord, that you just draw us by your Spirit to your word. I pray, Father, that as the psalmist said, we'll behold wondrous things out of thy law. That our eyes will be open to see, to understand, that the Holy Spirit will give us that revelation knowledge. And Father, that you just speak to our hearts. And Lord, we'll just be on fire with your word. That when we have an opportunity to share with someone else, when we're faced with temptation, Lord, when we come into a battle, Lord, we'll have the word of the Lord rise up inside of us. I thank you for it, Father. And Lord, I just pray your blessing be upon us now as we go from this place. Lord, that we're going to cherish and retain this word until it bring forth a great harvest in our lives. In Jesus' name. Now, if you're going to retain this word, say amen. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.